problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
The HMB Sides, exclusive, uncensored, uncut content heard exclusively on HMBRadio.com and on podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher. Just search for hashtag HMB Radio. This is the extra web extended time with my good pal, Adam Howe. Adam.
Cock balls.
That's what my first question was going to be when I do these. What's your favorite curse word?
Oh, fuck. Definitely. That's going to be...
Yeah, that's all reliable.
I farted right when you were doing the intro, and it crept up my my back hair and Ooh. Went all the way and just engulfed my face. So
whoa,
and it fucking stinks. And that's where I was going with that.
Yeah, Adam managed to drop a few bombs.
I fucked up on the
regular airtime.
I can't help it. It's how I talk.
I've gotten really good at not cursing when I'm sitting here in this chair.
Yeah.
Which is hard for me because in my day-to-day, I curse awfully.
Oh, yeah, all the
terribly.
Time.
Terribly, yeah. I love it very much.
That's why I like where I work now. I can audibly curse, and it's a small office. Like, you know, your job, or like there's a kitchen. Like, I sit next to the kitchen. It's like in an old house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's where I kind of work at, too.
Yeah.
Similar thing.
It's like a house. You know what I mean? There's a kitchen sink and a dishwasher, you know what I mean, and a refrigerator, and... Everyone's walking around like, fucking burnt my fucking oatmeal again. You know what I mean? And the whole place is tile. So there, it doesn't matter what office you're in.
Yeah.
You can hear everything.
Everything, right?
Everything. And so when people are whispering, you know it's about you. Like, fucking asshole. You're like, oh,
this guy just farted and it crept up his back hair. And it's stuck in his back hair right now.
We shouldn't have gotten him the seat with the air cushion because it's just going into the cushion, and every time he sits, he smells like he farted.
A lot of ghost ass in those chairs.
There's a lot. I mean, there's just, it's like, I love working days. I love working days.
Yeah, you were awesome. Working nights for many years.
8 years.
And that was, I always thought it was kind of easy for you because you would just go open up a room and go to bed.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah. I would get
not
woken
always.
Up.
You didn't have that. It's hard working that schedule, though. You're not meant to work nighttime. You're supposed to be sleeping at night.
No, in fact, as soon as I got a day job, I started sleeping at night, no problem. Like my very first night.
You were pretty much sleeping at night.
No. When I started working at the Sand Pearl on Clearwater Beach.
Then you definitely couldn't. When you were place, we used to just go hang out at your spot.
We just go smoke and hang out. And, I mean, I used to get fucked up there.
Yeah.
I used to get drunk. I used to, like, you know what I mean? I've done shrooms there. I did DMT there. I did all kinds of, I mean, I
still tell the threesome story
You
had. I tell people that one because there's things that happen to you in your life that are so unfathomable that would just never happen to me.
Yeah.
You also have the curse of when cool shit happens to you, you're going to get the payback from karma where terrible shit happens to you as well. So I'm kind of happy that I don't have the extreme ups and downs.
It is extremes. Like I've had a very interesting life. I'm talking like I'm giving my own eulogy. He had an interesting life. He got laid at his job, and
not only did you get laid at your job, but the threesome story that I think is hilarious is that you left your job to go to another city.
Yes.
And still somehow got away with that. Somehow.
I did. I actually, it was one of our good friends, two ex-girlfriends, which I thought was interesting.
Both ex-girlfriends, for that matter.
Both ex-girlfriends.
It's even more interesting.
But, you know, there's, again, as cool as some things are in my life, they usually end horribly. The only threesome I've ever been invited to partake in was incredible. I mean, like, there was just, like, juices flying everywhere, and they were, like, going at it, and I'm sitting there watching them, like, I'm at my computer with my pants around my ankles, just completely disconnected from everything that was happening. And then right when it was my time, I was like, this never happens. I don't, usually my dick and I are seeing eye to eye on everything. And just, I did a bunch of stupid stuff too. I took a bunch of multivitamins, good multivitamins from the store. Like, I stopped at a gas station on my way.
Oh, you got boner pills from the gas station.
I thought that they were going to, it wasn't even like boner pills. It was the clear package, and it was like Energy B.
Right.
And it had like a bunch of just, you know, general vitamins, like just pills of different sizes and different. Some of them were clear, some of them were chelated, some of them were, you know, probably not vitamins. And I just ate the whole bag. I didn't read it. I went and drank a bunch of wine and smoked a bunch of marijuana. And there's just ass and tits everywhere. And I couldn't.
Went on overload. Yeah.
I was like, sorry, but I did go back the next morning and have sex with one of the two girls.
There you go.
So I did that happen, but at
so
the time,
it wasn't that you jizzed early. You could not.
No, I couldn't.
Couldn't jizz. That's better than jizzing early.
Yeah, that's way better, because then I'm like, you know, it's just a lot of pressure.
Sure,
you know, you're always like, oh, this is going to be awesome. This is everything I imagined, and then you get into that situation, and you're like, holy crap! Can I like have a dimly lit corner where I can pleasure myself and watch you two? Because that to me is more familiar territory.
You probably could have done that. I'm sure those chicks wouldn't have minded.
No, not at all. In fact, but it was just one of those times I was like, man, I was like, these vitamins are making me gassy. I don't want to fart in the middle of my first threesome.
Sure.
And you know what I mean? Or maybe they would have gone with it. Maybe they would have sucked it out and it would have been great. But
they were like, oh, we didn't know you were into this too. shit on our mouths. Go ahead. You never know until you ask, you know?
And granted, I should have, but
this is going to be so much of a better podcast, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm so excited to tell you about my exploits that have been going on the past few years.
Yeah, you need to catch me up.
There's not much to tell, but I've only been offered a threesome twice in my life.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Turned them down both times.
Oh.
Because, one, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and rightly so.
It's terrifying. You should be. And two, really wasn't stoked on the quality. So
one of those.
Yeah. Kind of turn those down.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, like, I would have thought in my adventures that it would have happened at some point and it would have been awesome. But I'm that guy that, like, you know, everyone's on ecstasy and the hot chick's like, I just really want someone to fuck my brains out. And I'm like, well, my dick doesn't work, so I'm going to go look at colors and lights and I'm going to go put stuff in my mouth that shouldn't go there. And
the most, a couple months ago, I had this young lady who I knew kind of well. No, I didn't know at all, really. I met her a few times. She was a friend of a friend, and she was trying to get tickets to this concert, and I happened to have an extra one.
Oh.
So we went as a group, though, and then I got fucking drunk on a Wednesday night.
Like you do.
Not so much anymore, but I definitely used to do that, but it was kind of a weird thing that I went and got drunk on a Wednesday night. And couple friends of ours drove. She was drunk too, fucking hammered. And went back here. I obviously don't have anywhere to sit in here. Like, the room is a studio. There's no place to really sit and hang out. So I was like, I'm going to go to bed. You're welcome to join.
Oh, man. It doesn't get any sexier than that.
But I really wasn't even. I was like, okay. If it happens, good. If not, no big deal. And I told her, too. I was like, I'm not going to touch you or anything. So don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. You know. And then she was like, well, I thought we were going to like hang out. And I was like,
I'm sleepy.
I'm tired. Yeah, I'm tired. I have to go to work tomorrow.
I'm old.
And so she was like, ugh. all right, well, can I have a shirt? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I went and got her a shirt, and
she changed in front of you?
No, she went off in the corner, and I kind of went in the bedroom. Nice. And then so she came in, and then she said, ugh, I feel like I'm being held hostage.
Oh,
and I went, oh, really? So I was like, I'll tell you what, let me call you an Uber. Right. So I called her an Uber, sent her home, and I think she might have been being playful, like, oh, you know, this is...
Hey.
I probably could have just went for it, but in today's climate, I don't want to be accused of trying to rape a chick
or something. Nothing playful about rape.
And there's also, really, as nice as it is to ejaculate, it's really awesome to tell girls no.
Yeah, yeah.
I really enjoy that now. So, to me, it was almost better. I was like, fuck you, I'll send you home. And that's exactly what I did.
And you sent her off to get raped by an Uber driver.
Right.
That was nice. That was
out of my hands, hey, now this guy can hold you hostage. Hey. And you can really experience it.
Have fun with John Smith. He doesn't look like a rapist. Look at that picture.
No, he's a good guy.
He's got four stars. Four stars. He lost one because of rape.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that'll happen if you're going to Uber. But yeah, that was very nice too. So that's pretty much my exploits.
That's
been going on. Telling girls no.
Well, I mean, awesome. Every once in a while you gotta tell them no. You know, every once in a while. I even, you know, even married life. I'm like, you know what? No. I mean, I always lose, but I'm always like, you know what?
Do you get raped at your own home? By
yes.
A chick?
I mean, I think you know, at some point you have to spice it up a little bit. Sometimes you have to be the raper, and then other times you're the rapey.
Right.
You know, it's. You know, being working daylight hours and having a family, not as much time to jerk off as you used to.
Sure.
So, you know, it's like frustrated, like, yeah, we're gonna fuck because if I don't, my penis is gonna explode.
I'm not in a relationship, nor am I married.
Yeah.
I forget to beat off now.
Really? Well, yeah, you're getting old.
I was like, it's been days. And it doesn't even faze me anymore. I guess when you're 30, you start to go down that bell curve.
Yeah, your testosterone drops and like, yeah.
I'm welcoming it. I think it's awesome.
You know what? I can understand why women don't because, you know, men age like wine and women age like a grape. So, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's
the yin and yang, man. It's really unfortunate for chicks because they have to be pretty much shacked up with a dude. By the time they're 35,
yeah,
then they really go downhill. I've even seen some, like, with Facebook now, you can see chicks that you had a crush on in high school, and most of them are dogs now.
Dogs, or they have babies.
Yeah.
That's they're your choices.
Yep.
I mean...
that's one of my jokes that I have, is talking about the reunions, because I remember Ashley was like, you need to come to a 10-year reunion. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no.
And, but I want to go to the 20-year.
Oh, the 20-year
for sure.
Be hilarious.
Especially if I'm single. Then
a lot of us will be dead.
I'm going to pick up all those chicks that I wanted to bang. Now, they're not going to be the quality that they were, but going to totally try to bang my crushes at the 20-year.
You should.
And I'm going to have to go to the 2004 one instead, because I think I have more crushes in the 2004 class.
Yeah, I graduated in 2004.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was around. People know me from there, so...
Yeah.
I probably know more people from the 04 class than the 03.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that did kind of happen. We started hanging out with underclassmen a little bit after we graduated.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. I mean, you know, go to the 20-year reunion and, you know, knock back a couple of Lucy's.
Yep.
And...
I'll probably be married by then, though, I have a feeling. I have some kids, and I won't be able to accomplish my dream.
Yeah, you'll fuck a baby into
somebody
eventually.
Maybe I'll be divorced, though.
Maybe. I mean,
fingers crossed.
I'm always like, man, you know, if Amara died, no, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. She's not going to listen to this anymore. But if you do, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, you can't like, I don't know. I think back to some of the chicks I had a crush on, and then, you know, I see them and they're like, I look at other people my age, especially ones with kids, like as just inanimate object. You know what I mean? I'm just like, you're just a mom. You know what I mean? Every time I look at you, I just see mom with your mom boobs, and
that's the way. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
though.
It's just
this
how
is
it
nature.
Is. You know, and that's the thing too. Here's the thing I'm noticing. Like, I got hit on in a 7-Eleven, and I look like shit. I look like a bag of shit. I look like the shit that leaked out of the bag of shit. I look like that. And
the watery shit.
Yeah, the watery shit on the pavement. That's what I feel like. And I walk into a 7-Eleven, and this chick's like, so you... And she was, you know, she was... I wouldn't take her home, but I... She looked at me and she was like, I seen you in here with your baby and your baby's mama. I was like, yeah, it's my fiance. And she goes, is it serious? And I was like,
yeah.
Yep. I put a ring on her finger and I love her. She's my princess. So I can't have sex with you.
And, was it the chick that was behind the counter?
Yeah.
And never seen a hot chick behind the counter at 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Well, thin on the ground. But I was weirded out by it because I don't, you know, like, everyone's like, oh, the dad look is in, the dad, you know, but what it really is that chicks like older dudes.
That's what I'm that, finding. And then chicks also want what they can't have. So if you're, you know, a ring on a mare's finger,
yeah,
you're not really obtainable. So they want to try to get it. They want what they can't have.
That's what, it's that, that old forbidden fruit. You
yeah.
know? But I don't, I guess I just don't see myself, I don't feel young and virile, so I feel like it manifests itself, like, I don't try to suck in my gut anymore, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, I mean, I check in the mirror, and I'm like, oh man, my face, there's nothing I can do about it, it's just old and fat, and I'm just gonna...
What do you think you are out of 10?
6.5.
6.5. That's pretty accurate, I think.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I think I'm about a 6.8.
Ah, not bad.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you have to like you have to weigh it against like your feedback. You know what I mean? Like to whereas when I walk around, like it seems like chicks like guys that have kids. You know what I mean? And so for me, I'm like, she's probably not interested in me. It's probably nothing about me. It's probably just the fact that I'm providing for something.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
I have a job.
Right. So you got your kind of, you look like you have your shit together at least. You have a baby that's alive.
Yeah.
So that you're already ahead of the curve there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, it doesn't really matter what dudes look like anyways. It's just, sorry.
It doesn't.
You can't be a loser if you're a guy.
Yeah, you have to...
You can be. You get a chick, but it's not going to be anything that's
Yeah,
good.
It's not going to go the distance.
Yeah.
I mean, I know plenty of people, plenty of dudes that... I know a dude that doesn't shower, that doesn't brush his teeth, that has a minimum wage job, and like a minimum wage job, like a $5 an hour, nobody gives a shit what you do while you're here. And he lives in an apartment that is smells like an ass,
mm-hmm.
like you're nestled in an ass,
mm-hmm.
and it's disgusting, and he doesn't even pay his rent, and he still gets laid, like he's still fine, and I'm like, man, it really, but now if you have a chick, like, well, I guess a chick could get laid too, I mean, really.
Chicks can get laid whenever they want,
but yeah. It still boggles
it might not
mind.
Be anybody they want to bang.
Yeah,
but
you see, like, guys, you gotta have tools, or, I mean, I will say this person that is, you know, in the dumpster, he can talk, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? He's got a way about himself, and it just goes to show that if you have the right tool...
Sure.
You know what I mean? But it's immensely harder for him. A chick in his same situation, you know what I mean? Like, there'd be a line of dudes around the corner. There are dudes that fuck prostitutes that don't, you know,
right.
wash their vagina after every job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's just, it's different. It's it all balances out, though.
Yeah,
the yin and yang is real. It's, you know, girls, you got to be hot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But dudes, you got to be in good shape and be good looking, have money. Or be funny.
Funny.
Those are your three options.
Yeah, and it is hard maintaining a body.
It certainly is.
Much easier writing jokes.
Yep.
Much, much easier writing jokes.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Should I go to the gym today, or should I write a joke about how I didn't go to the gym today?
I've only seen a few comics that are in shape.
Yeah, and they all piss me off. I don't like
them. Yeah.
I don't care. As Jonah Hill said, there's nothing funny about a physically fit man.
No.
There's nothing.
I'm trying to think of a funny in shape dude.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he's funny. That's true.
Deadpool is great.
That's why he's such a feast upon, like, every woman likes Ryan Reynolds. And because he's good looking, he is a stud. but then he's also really funny.
I just feel like he was one of those guys that entered Hollywood and just got like raped a bunch by a bunch of producers, and then they were like, now that your ass looks like a pound of roast beef, we'll go ahead and give you a bit part. You'll do it. You know what I mean? It just seems like anybody who's attractive in Hollywood, it's like, you know, that guy, like George Clooney, he sucked a few dicks. You know, probably. Sylvester Stallone definitely sucked a few dicks.
There's always those rumors floating around.
Rumors.
And, John, the guy that I'm going to do the open mic with, he's got some stories.
He was raped?
I think almost. He's gotten invited to some parties. I've heard, I don't know if it was from him or it might have been a podcast I was listening to. Mm. But these producers throw these parties and just have like gay sex with a bunch of twinks.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes. And then people get mad when they say that Jews run Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they kind of do. And that's great that they do. Well, good for them.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, everything our Americanized view of celebrity and American lifestyle was all based on...
Sorry, gays, not Jews. Jews, gay Jews.
Well, gay Jews. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's not discriminate. Gay Jews run Hollywood, and you know, and God bless them. I mean...
Hey, they found a niche, and they fulfilled their destiny.
Just corrupt their viewing audience until just a bunch of mindless, stupid people...
Have you ever listened to Patrice O'Neill's
talking about
on ONA the beast, as he calls it, getting swallowed by the beast and mistakes that he's made in his career? I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Patrice O'Neill. I actually went on Patrice O'Neill binge after he died.
There's a whole channel on YouTube that's all Patrice. ONA appearances.
Man, he was the best part of that show.
He really was.
I love Jay Moore. I love Jay and Patrice together. That was my favorite.
Yeah, they were great. The ONA show in general was... I didn't really get into it until a couple of years ago.
Are they still...
No, they got busted up.
What?
Yeah, Anthony Kubia had a... he's like Republican, like super Republican. Yeah. And he had an incident where he was taking photographs in the city at like 5 in the morning when it was empty. And he took a photo, and the camera clicked, and it was a black woman that was walking by and then got pissed off that he took the picture and then started beating him up pretty much in the street.
Shit.
So he went on a Twitter rampage and said some disparaging things about the black community.
Racism. And,
but it really, he called her a savage. Which I don't think that's necessarily racist. I mean, you can have a savage just means like I've called you a savage before. Yeah.
I think of a Native American when I think of a savage.
There you go.
Savages.
So I don't think it was necessarily, but he said other things too about the black community's proclivity to violence. And you can't say these things anymore. And it was on his private Twitter account. People got pissed. And wanted him fired, called for his head, and Sirius fired him. So now it's the Opie show, and Opie's kind of well. So,
yeah, and that just goes to show too. It's like everything that happened with Hulk Hogan. You know, I mean, now his was blatantly racist, but you know, again,
I mean, is it though?
I mean, I only
just
heard
saying a word make because I remember George Foreman came to his defense. I was like, I've known that guy for a long time.
Yeah,
and I don't know him to be a racist dude. I don't think that saying a word makes you...
No, I don't either, necessarily. But what I do think is that at this point, you know, it doesn't matter. And it sucks. And this contradicts something I said earlier. But it really doesn't matter how you feel. I mean, especially if you're a public figure, you have to realize that there are just some things that society does not tolerate. And, you know, there's a lot... And SJWs, which is my new favorite acronym.
Oh, mine too.
I love it.
I'm fascinated by the culture.
Yeah, it really is fascinating because I've never seen such long-winded people with so little to say.
They're insatiable. They have a lot to say, but there's no end game
there's no
for them.
Substance,
they always want more and more and more.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it really is.
This is one of the things Patrice said too.
Yeah.
Years ago.
That...
Eventually, white people are going to be like, "Fuck off!"
Yeah,
like we tried, and nothing's gonna budge. So I'm waiting for it, and I feel like that's part of the Donald Trump thing too. Is that people are like it? Because did you see the Trump thing where he was like, he said "anchor baby"? Oh yeah.
Sorry, I'm sweating more than I'm ingesting.
Here you go.
Oh, thanks, man.
He said something about Anchor Baby in one of his speeches, and the make sure that lid doesn't come off.
Oh,
that would be a disaster. So he said, "There you go." He said, and the guy said, "I don't really like that term." He's like, "What would you like me to call them?" And the guy says, "Well, an undocumented citizen, birth of said people." And he's like, "That's too long. I'm just going to say Anchor Baby." And that's why, I mean, I think he's an idiot. I really do. But I also like that he's, will say this shit.
He's a caricature.
It's just a little thing. Yeah, he's a caricature of the human, the American experience right now. The elites are so out of touch with what true America is, the flyover states, which hold a lot of the population. There is more to the country than just the coast, believe it or not.
Well, yeah.
And he's holding the building a wall thing. I had an argument with James Bailey's guest last week because I forget something. I defend Trump a lot. I do. And I don't want to, but I think it's unfair about some of the shit that they say about him. And we were talking about the disruptions in the rallies, for instance, are out of control. And Bernie Sanders said, "Well, I can't control what people do." And yeah, exactly. I agree with you. Neither can fucking Trump either.
Yeah, and don't forget, there are paid provocateurs on both sides. I mean, the Clinton campaign's been found guilty of it. Then, you know, and whether or not it's rogue elements within the base, I mean, you have to look. I mean, it's all a show. This election, in my personal opinion, it's got to be the end. You know what I mean? There's no way. I can't, first of all, I don't see a President Trump. What I see is maybe a President Trump on Inauguration Day, but the powers that be, if he's not already bought and paid for, which is my guess, then they'll just shoot him in the head. The same thing, you know, all these people, Bernie Sanders, like, "Oh, well, then I won't shoot him in the head. They'll blow him up. They'll make it a spectacle."
I think he might get assassinated before the election. I think somebody might kill
probably
him.
I mean, he's pissed off the Israeli lobby, even though he's very Netanyahu friendly. Netanyahu has almost tried to distance himself from Trump since this whole thing. He said a few things about Israel that Israel hasn't been crazy about. But for the most part, he's a supporter. He believes Israel's right to defend themselves. And that's the thing, is that every single candidate, even including Bernie Sanders, is on the side of AIPAC, and it's the biggest lobby in the United States, and they're the pushers for all the things that, you know, like, I consider myself to be a liberal person. I was like, well, you know, I can't have anything against immigration. You know, my ancestors were immigrants, and, you know, I wouldn't be here, you know, possibly if it wasn't for immigration. And none of us would, in a sense. But at the same time, opening up the borders is a tactic used to destabilize nations. It's true. Look what's going on in Europe right now with all the refugees. You know, people don't feel safe in their homes. You're putting people, you're destabilizing a culture by injecting people that have no wish to conform.
Right.
Or to.
And that's the difference between immigrants when our great grandparents came over, is they assimilated and became American.
Yes, exactly.
There's no drive to do that anymore.
No.
Most people don't speak English. There's, and that's not that, you know, whatever, but
yeah,
it's.
You come here because it's the land of opportunity.
Right.
You know, but then you get here and you're like, well, I'm not going to bother learning any of the rules, or I'm not going to bother.
Europe's fucked.
Oh,
Europe,
yeah.
Europe is, and Canada's going to be next, and I wonder if we're going to get the back blow from,
well, you know,
Canada.
They've been flying in refugees from the Middle East at
night.
I
really haven't heard much about problems there, though.
Well, you won't, because this is what happens. They fly in refugees into America in the middle of the night, and there have been a few whistleblowers that have come out and said, "I worked at this airport, I was in TSA, I was a pilot," and they talking about these 3 a.m. flights that come into America. They get off the plane, nobody's checked. It's the same thing with the immigrants, the refugees from Syria and Lebanon and all these different places, Libya. All these people are coming in and nobody's being checked. Nobody, you know, and it's all, they're all males in their 20s and 30s. There's no women and children. You know what I mean? And then you have all these like staged photo ops. Like there's this one where, I forget, I think it was in Germany. And, there's a picture of this guy and he's holding his baby and the police are just standing there talking to him. And then he takes the baby and jumps onto the railroad tracks and starts swinging the baby around. So the cops surround the guy, and they're trying to help the child. But the only picture that made it into the AP was this guy holding his baby and these scary-looking cops standing over him. And it's like, this is what's happening to the immigrant. And you're like, man, that is a staged photo op, because they want the people of Europe to be okay with these open borders and all these people streaming in. And I'm sitting there going, well, if it was me and I was having dinner with my family and all of a sudden 5,000, you know, foreigners came walking down the street and just burst into my house and beat me up, killed me, raped my wife and my child, and then stole all of our possessions and left us for dead. I mean, I can't imagine that. That to me is my worst nightmare. And, you know what I mean, not being able to protect my family. And you see these people in Europe right now, and that's what's happening to them. And, you know, I'm all for regulated immigration. If you want to come to another country and you want to integrate and you admire the culture so much that you want to come and get a dose of it, I'm totally for that.
Sure, me too.
But just coming someplace so that you can rape and pillage, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't. There's nothing about that that sits well with me. And people actually... You know, like when Trump was talking about building a wall. Well, you know, they built a wall.
Yeah, we have a wall now.
Yeah.
This is the semantics I got in a fight with the other guy about, because he's like, it's a fence. I'm like, okay, but there's still a barrier there.
Yeah.
It's a fence, fine. So he's going to make the fence stronger.
Yeah. I mean, you know, electrify, dig a moat and fill it with gators. My point is that if you're coming to this country, you should do it legally.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And this whole open borders policy, you know, when a couple of years ago they were talking about the North American Union, where they were going to smash together Mexico, you know, America and Canada, and have a North American currency and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, you know, this isn't like I want to keep my race pure or anything like that. This is, if you don't regulate immigration, then you're letting in people that are potentially hostile to your culture and to your government and to your, you know, and that's exactly why, you know, when Trump says stuff like this, you know, people are feeling the effects of immigration every single day. You and I and our taxes, we pay for a lot of illegal immigrants to have health insurance or to, you know, exist in this country. And to whereas a lot of American citizens are poor, homeless, and should, you know, are going undiagnosed for mental problems, you know, like a lot of our vets, you know, it's like none of that money's going to help those people. It's going to wars and it's going to prop up, you know, Pedro, who fucking, you know, hopped the fence and, you know, is working on his third felony and is not even close to being deported yet. It's like,
and it's not even so much that. I mean, most of them, the majority, are probably just trying to make a better life for their family.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them are.
They're working a shitty job for no money.
Yeah.
They live in squalor, and then they take their paychecks and ship it. The richest guy in Mexico is rich because he has a telecom business that wires money.
Yeah,
from the States down to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And he's made billions. He's one of the richest guys in the world. It's sucking so much money out of the country. If they were putting it back in the country, it really wouldn't be that big of a deal. But,
yeah, but
it's
not.
All funneling out billions of dollars
every
year.
I mean, and, you know, you can't...
I can't fault them for making a better life or trying to make a better life for themselves. But, Trump said, we're poor now. Which I think is true. We're trillions and trillions. We don't know what the national debt is at this point. And I don't think it matters at this point, because I don't think there's enough money in the world. I don't think the world is worth what the debt is.
But this is a part of the plan. Not to get too conspiratorial, but that's a part of the plan. The plan was never to fix the deficit. The plan was to drive the deficit as far as it can go before what's happening around the world right now actually happens, which is people start dumping the dollar, which has been a fear of conspiracy theorists for a long time, but it's happening. You have a new axis of evil with Russia and Syria and, well, at one point, Libya, Iran, Iraq, like, you know, and you notice just they're falling one at a time. And that's why.
But no one's dumping the dollar. Who's dumped the dollar?
Russia is dumping the dollar.
Yeah, but that's a last ditch. They're fucked too.
Well,
they don't have an economy without us, and we don't have an economy without China, and everybody's interconnected. We have to have each other in order. That's what's keeping us afloat. Otherwise, we would have fought.
Well, you think that. I mean, but eventually, it's going to come to a point where we're going to have to default, which nobody's really familiar with that as far as our budget is concerned. I don't think many people live today can remember the last time that the American government defaulted on, you know, on the deficit. And when that happens, and they're already talking about it, you know, they're doing away with the $100 bill. It's not going to be a $100 bill anymore. They're starting to slowly whittle away at denominations. It's not going to happen fast. It's going to happen slowly because they want to move away from cash. Cash is the last bastion of freedom, even though it's, you know, an inflated currency and it, you know, is not worth what it says it's worth. Eventually, they're going to move away from cash. It'll be all electronic currency. And you can see they're kind of doing that now. You know, you can scan your bank card, Samsung Pay. You just touch your phone, you know, or Android Pay. You just touch your phone, something. Apple does it too. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to move away from cash. And then everything you do. You know, I wouldn't be able to buy a bag of weed. Well, the weed will probably be legal then. But you know, you won't be able to engage in legal activities because everything will be monitored.
It's PayPal. Like,
yeah.
That's the way around it.
Well, PayPal and then
friends, you can transfer money for free for friends and family.
Yeah, but eventually, you know, it's gonna get to the point where it's like, well, you know, we arrested this guy who's a known drug dealer. It's, I see here, twice a month for the last 2 years you've been transferring, you know, $50 to $100
right
into this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like eventually there's just, and because that's what cash is. Cash is really the last bastion of freedom, even though it is also our biggest downfall, you know. And I think eventually that's what it's coming to. I think everything's going to be monitored. I think eventually, you know, they're trying to push the Real ID Act again, which you're like, man, I haven't heard of that in a couple years.
Yeah,
but
it's been a decade.
Yeah, but they'll get it done. RFID chips are still big. People are, you know, it's still upcoming technology. I mean, it's only a matter of time. I mean, one day, you know, conventional cell phones like you and I know them, they won't exist. It'll be something on your wrist. You know what I mean? Your phone will project on your arm or, you know what I mean? It'll be like Google Glass, except not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it'll be, everything will be integrated. And, you know what I mean? Right now, you can have it so your entire house is listening to you at any given time.
Oh, I think that's already happening.
That is happening.
Yeah. I mean, your cell phone can do that now.
Right now, Google's
and you always have your cell phone on you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and they just this just happened too. The Justice Department just released all this, or the NSA just released all this, all these new bills, or what was it, about now they don't have to have a warrant. It doesn't have to be used for terrorist activities. All these new powers, you know, like granting the Patriot Act, and with programs like Prism, like that whole hacking into the iPhone thing, like that doesn't matter anymore. They don't have to use these new laws for terrorist activities anymore. They're going to be using it for domestic spying, for your drug dealers, for your, you know, your petty crimes, and that's what it was for all along, you know. Except now they're just like, eh, we're not going to sugarcoat it anymore. It's not for terrorism. This is just it. This is the law. And you know, our future, you know, at least like for my daughter's future, it's not looking like too much fun. You know what I mean? Like it's.
I hear you, and I think it's scary, a lot of this shit that's going on. But I also, I don't want to live in that scary world, so I don't even want to think about it. I'm going to hope that this stuff is done for positive changes to...
Yeah.
Because it's going to be cool to have a thing in your arm that's a phone. That's going to be pretty dope.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just got a Galaxy S7 and Edge, and I love it.
So you got the watch, too.
Yeah. This is, well, this thing... You've seen this, I think.
Look at that.
Yeah, isn't that...
Fucking badass.
got all my...
Fuck yeah.
Can find my phone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So that's just going to be inside your hand or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just a matter... Like
it's
I said...
cool.
It's just a matter of time before everything's integrated. And you know, everyone's listening all the time. I mean, I always joke with the mayor. I'm like, I'll be dead long before it gets bad. So be prepared to fight in the revolution because I won't be here.
It's definitely, things are definitely falling apart. I think things have never been better and things have never been worse at the same time.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
I think the media is a helping hand in dividing us as a people with the social justice movement, the progressive movement.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen as hateful people as those people are. They are so intolerant of intolerance
that
they are contradicting themselves.
At every turn.
And they eat themselves now, too. Did you see the video that came out? I thought it was fake. But the white kid that had dreads and the chick got mad at him, the black lady.
Oh, was
and
this?
He was, like, accosted at school. And she was grabbing his arm and not letting him go.
I did see that. And he was
terrible.
Like, he was like, why don't you just lay out? Like, he's
a stoner, yeah.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, holding his arm.
Yeah,
she,
wouldn't let him go. Assaulting him, as far as I'm concerned. I think they should press charges on that chick.
Yeah, but you know what? If he had turned around and he had pushed her or he had done anything, it would have been
different story.
It would have been high.
Yeah.
It would have been. And that's the thing, is that it's just, it's hypocrisy, and there's so many stupid people. I think that's the part of getting old. I'm looking around and I'm like, man, you just don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You don't know what's really going on in the world. You know, I got into
people don't look anything up.
No,
they
don't.
They look nothing up.
I got into an argument with a good friend of mine, a black gay guy, double trouble,
mm-hmm.
and over the Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was hot about this, and you know, and I was like, man. You know, he's talking about the Civil War and, like, you know, this is, you know, Abraham Lincoln Emancipation Proclamation was so good for black people. It's like, you know, the Civil War had very little to do with slavery at all. It was about tariffs.
Right. To crush the South. Yeah.
And unfortunately, at the time, slavery was an accepted commodity. And that's
there's
unfortunate.
Quotes from Lincoln that say
that are very racist.
Yes, he was a racist.
Just paraphrasing. I don't really care about the blacks, but you know, they're a chip. Mm-hmm. They're a bargaining chip in the game, and Abraham Lincoln was very much for the invasive government that we have now, you know, with the federal government sticking its nose where it doesn't belong, and he's been made this hero.
Yeah,
and you know, and when I'm trying to talk, you know. My point to this gay African-American man was that I'm not going to have somebody... The Confederate flag, even though in your shallow mind denotes some racism, that's not how the flag was founded. That's not the meaning behind it. It has been... what's the word?
Demonized.
Yeah, it's been demonized and turned into something that it wasn't at its inception. And you're using that to tell people that they cannot express themselves. And freedom of speech, I don't care what it's about. Even like the Westboro Baptist Church, I think those are the worst people on the fucking planet. But this is America, and I think it's hilarious to see people throw old fruit at you on the highway. So, I mean, you know, go ahead. If you want to get beat up by a gang of bikers because you want to protest a soldier's funeral, I'm going to watch that on WorldStar.
Sure.
I'm going to watch that. But, I mean, you have every right to say, go ahead, be as hateful as you want. When people throw rocks at your face, you know, you can't complain. But you have that freedom. To sit there and go, anybody with a Confederate flag needs to take down the Confederate flag. It's like, you don't even know why the war was fought.
Right.
You don't know what the flag stands
for. And it's not their fault, because this is what we were taught in school. This is the narrative I've been fed, too. And then when you're old enough now, you have this... device in your pocket that you can look anything up.
You have
you
no
want.
Excuse. No excuse.
Just question stuff.
Just Google it.
Google it. Exactly. Okay. Don't take anybody's word for it. I never take anybody's word for anything anymore. The information is so freely available now.
Yeah.
That and usually it seems like it's a lie what they tell you.
Yeah.
Or it's not a lie. That was, I guess you could bring, you know, I feel like it was first touted as, see, we're not so bad. We ended slavery. Yeah. And that's true, too. Like, America didn't invent slavery, but America ended slavery in the New World.
America ended slavery on American soil. That did happen many years after the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln had very little to do with it. But slavery, you know, my other point to this person was that slavery still exists everywhere, mm-hmm. everywhere. And, you know, I told him, I was like, you're so mad about the Confederate flag. You're blabbing about it on Facebook. I was like, what about all those conflict metals and minerals that are powering your computer right now that some African kid died mining so that you could have your fucking MacBook Pro?
Mm-hmm.
You don't give a shit about them.
No, because it's not, they don't know about it. And they don't Google it, and they have no incentive, I guess, to do so, because they know what they see on the news.
Yeah, that's all they need to know.
That's all they need to know. Why would they lie?
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that this, you have the internet at your fingertips. You have zero excuses for being so ignorant. You know, I cannot tell you how many times I've had conversations with people, and I get, you know, Mike Marlowe loves this too, because whenever I do pop on Facebook every once in a while, and I see somebody who's completely wrong, and I just can't help myself. But I cite my sources. I never go off on a rant now without being like, here's the article, here's the statistic I'm pulling from, here's the essay written by a professor, you know. And people don't care. They don't want to read or click my links or, right. You know, they don't care. They know what they know, and you're not going to tell them any different.
And part of it, too, is it's a good thing because people are at an all-time level of niceness and acceptance and to a fault, though, mm-hmm. because they don't want to judge anybody based on their skin color, which is great. You shouldn't, but you should also not ignore things that happen. Like, for example, the shit that's happened with the refugees in Europe.
Yeah.
That was the New Year's thing in Cologne was
awful.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
And they tried
awful.
To cover it up. And like the SJWs and the feminists talk mm-hmm. about this rape culture that's here in America. That is a rape culture.
Yes.
Right there. Like, you should be saying something about that. But instead they say,
tolerance.
I don't want to judge because it's not my culture. So they don't judge. But it's like, okay, hello, jeez. I can't. It blows my mind that they can't see
so
that.
So rape and pedophilia, which is another staple of their culture, you know, you're going to condone that because they're foreigners, you know, and their culture is different than yours. But how can you do that? Like, that, it just boggles my mind. I can't even begin to fathom how you take both those sides.
Yeah, it's totally, it doesn't make sense.
Did you hear about the petition? Because Emma Watson is another SJW, and
I've seen a lot of, I was watching a video about her.
That was so funny, dude. Somebody started a petition, they're like, if you think that the refugees are such good people, and you're so not afraid of them, and you think that they should exist here, then you go sleep in their camp.
Yes.
You go sleep with all these guys that are just raping and pillaging, and you tell us how safe it is. I think it got like 200,000 signatures. Ridiculous.
And I think most of the people probably are. The majority probably are. But there is a... do you have water?
I'm out. Yeah, sorry. I'm still coming off of being sick.
There's a lot of people, though, a large minority that aren't. And mean to do you harm. And to ignore that is suicide. And you have to be able to... noticing patterns, but you're so... You can't say anything, or you're fucking... I fight with people all the time. Because here in St. Pete, it's a very,
very
progressive
liberal
town. And I got attacked. I get attacked constantly.
Yeah.
And called names. And I don't really care, though. And I'm waiting to get fired from one of my positions that I have for old tweets or something. I know it's going to happen because that's the new culture we live in. But I'm sorry. Let's talk about it. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to correct you, but let's have a conversation about it. And most people are unwilling to do so because they haven't looked it up, and it sounds mean. And they're hate facts, and people don't like hate facts because they're mean.
I mean, in the same respect, you know, I don't talk about this really openly because it's such a stigma, but there's a lot that people don't know about World War II. And there's a lot of people that, you know, like I got into an argument with somebody that was talking about banning Mein Kampf. And I was like, have you ever actually read the book? And he was like, well, no, but I mean, it's all about racial purity. I was like, well, you know, if you actually go back and you listen to what Hitler said.
Wasn't it more about economic nationalism more than anything?
It was. And Hitler pulled Germany out of one of the worst depressions. And as hard as it is for people to hear, really, just like what's happening in America, the same basic thing happened. There was a run made on the national currency after World War One, and they had the same amount of inflation. And Germany was basically a cesspool before Adolf Hitler.
They were kind of in bondage too after that, because they fucked up. They lost.
Well, they were fucked. They lost, but again, they were the superior military. You know, it's just they weren't playing the game, and Hitler once again was not playing the game in World War II, and openly started talking about all these banking families that were, which unfortunately were Jewish. But, you know, at the same time, Hitler also worked very closely with the Jewish oligarchy, the Zionists, and in order to allow the German people to move to Israel. It's called the Balfour Declaration. It's really interesting. If you read it, like, you see that Hitler was doing what he was doing because of almost a racial stereotype. And there was no such thing as a death camp, as far as I can tell. As far as my research, I have not seen anything conclusively that there were gas chambers and that people were mass killed.
Really?
Yeah, there's actually a really great documentary about this Israeli archaeological team that goes to Treblinka, and they try to excavate all these millions of people that were supposedly gassed and buried there. And they did topographical scans of the whole camp. And there were all these stones where all these Jews were supposed to be buried. They couldn't find a single fucking bone. They couldn't find anything. And these bodies were not moved. Like, this is what the Holocaust Society and Holocaust Museum, this is their records of what happened. But, you know, you can even go back and read what the Red Cross said about World War II. And the number of Jewish deaths were greatly inflated. And it was largely in part due to the fact that they were targeted. They were targeted because they were blamed for a lot of Germany's problems. And so even though I don't think they were treated fairly, I think that a lot of people were prosecuted unjustly. But I mean, to say that Adolf Hitler was the evilest man that ever, I think our history has been skewed. And you can't say that. You can't be like, well, you know, here's what I saw, here's what I read. You know, nobody that I saw or read was openly racist or hated Jewish people. What they were talking about was the actual numbers. What the Red Cross reported is the number of people that died in internment camps. You know, what Adolf Hitler actually said as opposed to what people said that he said. And when you go back and look, you're like, wow, holy shit, what else don't I know? You know what I mean? It wasn't one of those moments where I was like, yeah, he was right, you know, fuck the Jews. It was nothing like that. It was more like, wow, holy shit, I only know... What I knew about World War II was from a history book and what I saw on the History Channel.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
there's just always more to the story. This is one of the things that I'm struggling with in researching things, is that I can find something, and then I can find something else.
Yeah, you can find...
That totally contradicts... So it's hard to find the truth. I don't even know if a real truth even exists, which is scary. So basically what I do now is I look up both sides and make a gut decision. And that's where I make my...
Yeah.
And where I find my truth, which is... I hate to say it because everybody says that now. It's find your truth. It's like, no, I want the truth. And it's impossible to find.
Yeah. Well, you just got to keep... You know, and that's the thing, is that as long as there's open dialogue, you know, you'll eventually get there. But without it, you know, when you have people that are just upset that you would dare even ask the question, you know, and that's the problem, is that once you stifle open dialogue, once you stifle free thought, I mean, you know, that's not the way to get the truth.
Adam, it's good talking to you, man.
Good talking to you too. Sorry,
I'm sweating a little. I'm going to put on the AC. Thanks for joining us. Check out hmbradio.com. Talk to you later.
Woo! We'll be right back. outside.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.